Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. After a little bit of improvisation, I got the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio up and running. And it's in Boston, so Schomburg Stu was nice enough to come host with me.
It's been a long time.
It has been quite a while, but if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but there is various content added throughout the week for you to check out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. I am out there on Twitter as well, at BurkTime. Sadly, we do not have a Twitter account for Stu yet. We got to set that up so you can teach people chess moves.
I will do that. Of course, I'm out of shape right now, although I still read about it quite frequently.
So, all right. Well, I thought this was kind of an interesting scenario, and I wanted to start here with you in this. You know, the Eastern Conference and the NBA, the last two spots are coming down to a battle between three teams. I believe the Pacers have either a game or a half-game lead in the seventh spot. The Bulls and the Heat are actually tied for the eighth spot, but the Bulls hold the tiebreaker. Now, all three teams are in action tonight. Indiana has the Philadelphia 76ers, so it should be a game they can win. The Bulls are playing the Orlando Magic. Again, a game they should win, but with this Bulls team, you never know. Now, the Heat drew the Cleveland Cavaliers. So you're thinking, okay, no problem. You know, this is probably the end of it for the Heat as they lose this game to the team at the top. Well, LeBron is going to sit out with an alleged calf injury. Kyrie Irving may be the only legitimate guy out there. He's still out with his knee. Tristan Thompson is recovering from his thumb injury. And Kevin Love is sick. So it looks like all four will be held out against the Heat tonight. You know, if you're the Bulls, how do you react to this?
Well, I think you better decide to win the game tonight against Orlando for sure, because I believe the game with the Heat in Cleveland is in Florida, correct? In Miami.
Yes, it is.
So, based upon that, being the home team and the fact that Cleveland has so many players out, you have to think the Heat has a very good chance to win that game. So the Bulls have to take care of business tonight at the UC, and as we know from previous experience watching them, they don't always rise to the occasion.
Yeah, they're, you know, Orlando is an under 500 team, and the Bulls do have the tendency to really choke these games against under 500 teams. I mean, we just saw them lose to the Brooklyn Nets.
It's an embarrassment.
Yeah, it should be kind of interesting, but you know, I guess my other issue, you know, is I got to tell you, if I'm a fan and I bought tickets to this game tonight, man, I'm going to be less than happy when I show up at Miami and I got no LeBron, no Kyrie, you know, no Kevin Love, no Tristan Thompson. That's not going to suit me well.
Now, didn't the NBA come down and some of the teams doing that? I guess there's no fines involved, but I know they're not too happy about those kinds of situations occurring.
Yeah, I know they're attempting to come up with a solution, but I mean, in reality, there's not a whole lot you can do, because like I guarantee you LeBron isn't hurt tonight. All a team has to do is, if they want to give a night off, is designate an injury status. Here you go, LeBron's got a calf, and there you go, you can give him the night off.
Yeah, it It doesn't do much for the fans. It's really it's not fair to the fans who pay the money to see those teams in action, especially with the cost of the tickets nowadays in the NBA. I don't think there's too many cheap seats available. So I guess they just don't care. They're looking out for themselves and making sure that their team are healthy when the playoffs start. And really, you can't blame them too much for that. I mean, even in hockey, the Blackhawks rested a few of the regulars over the last three or four games. So I guess the league's it'd be difficult for them to do something when this happens. I don't know what they can do.
Yeah, well, you know, I know one of the suggestions was rest them at home. You know, if you want to give a guy a day off, give it to him at home.
Yeah, well, of course, that would be a disservice to the hometown fans too, right?
Yeah, but at least, you know, they have other opportunities to see them. You know, I mean, when you go on the road, especially, you know, in the opposing conference, you're only there one time. You know, I mean, I believe
true.
They make a couple trips to Miami, so you have a couple shots to see them, you know, with anybody. But, yeah, anytime they cross over, it's your only opportunity to see this guy play in your venue. You know, so that was one, you know, idea. You know, again, I'm not sure if you can find him because how do you prove the legitimacy of the injury?
Yeah, it's very difficult to do. Do you know what percentage of the seats sold for a specific game are season ticket holders as compared to people that just want to go get a seat and watch LeBron in action when he's visiting their town?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously that kind of goes by which team it is, because, you know, obviously a team like the Warriors is going to sell a lot more tickets than a team like the Brooklyn Nets. You know, season ticket wise.
Right.
But, you know, these guys, I mean, you know, especially in the West, I mean, if you're a, you know, a non-playoff team, you know, I don't know if the Lakers count because I think they still do pretty well, but, you know, say you're the Timberwolves or the Suns or, you know, even a team like the Pelicans, you get LeBron there that one time and he decides to take the night off. Boy, man, you've got an angry fan base.
Right, unless the fan just wants to see their home team win. They just don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's that many fans are like that. They want to see the established stars in action when they have the rare opportunity to do that.
Yeah, you know, and like you mentioned, I mean, price-wise, I mean, imagine, you know, like if it was your family back in the day, you know, you had you, your wife, your two kids, you're buying four tickets. If you drive down there, you've got to pay for parking. You know, you're probably going to want to pick up, you know, a souvenir for each kid. You know, nowadays you're out $300-$400 depending on where you sit. You know, you get to your seat and all of a sudden there's LeBron in a suit. You know, you're kind of like, great,
yeah.
I went out
yeah.
and, you know, and, you know, like these tickets, you know, and I'm sure you've noticed it with baseball, certain tickets to certain games against certain teams cost more money.
Absolutely.
So
right.
It probably costs
Absolutely
you more
right.
to see a LeBron or a Kevin Durant or a Steph Curry or a Russell Westbrook than it would to say see them play the Brooklyn Nets or the Phoenix Suns or something like that. So yeah, you know, now you've laid out all this money, it's gonna be your one family outing. I mean, it's basically your vacation, and he doesn't play.
That is certainly unpleasant for the fan. And it's funny that you mentioned it, because Linda and I were talking about that the other day when I was bringing up how much a bleacher seat costs for the opening game at Wrigley Field. And we said, what about with the kids? So we took the kids, and the kids are younger, take them there, parking, all the four tickets, food, souvenirs. You're out nowadays, you're out, what, $500-$600?
Yep.
At least. Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, easy.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, it's the nature of the game. You know, ticket prices just continue to go up no matter what. You know, even the Raiders, who are moving on their fans, announced a ticket increase for this year.
Well, they probably
You know,
won't have any problem getting that. You know, they're getting a new market,
yeah,
so
you know.
I'm sure they'll.
You know, it's like, hey, we're only going to be here 2 more years, but it's going to cost you more to see us.
Right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
you just wonder, you know, and, you know, I've wondered to now, I mean, when do they price the average person out of the game? You know, I mean, can the guy,
right,
you know, out there, yeah, I mean, can the guy out there banging away 40 hours in the factory or wherever they're working, can he afford to go to more than one game a year?
Quite unlikely. And it's a shame that it's come down to that.
So, you know what I mean? It's obvious, you know, the players don't care. I mean, the NBA players have proven, you know, through and through, they could care less about the fans. They're not worried about any of this crap. They just, you know, they're going to do what they want to do because they got the big television contract. And, you know, that's just kind of how it's going to go. So, you know, if you bought a ticket for the game tonight in Miami, sorry. You know, luckily they show up. They're the kind of fans that show up late and leave early. So you won't be missing too much. But, you know,
never
sucks. You know,
base,
if it was me, I'd be ticked.
And deservedly so, rightfully so.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but the as you know, the Bulls played Brooklyn for their last game of the season, right? Brooklyn Nets,
yes.
The rematch. Who does Miami play
yeah,
in their last game?
Let me see what we. Whoops! Oh, I didn't have to do that, but I did it anyways. Let's see here. Wednesday night we have. Miami plays Washington, so they really got a bad draw at the end of the schedule.
Yeah. Well, let's be realistic about this. The Bulls have the tie break. Washington is a tougher schedule. I think the Bulls are going to unfortunately make the playoffs and probably be the 8th seed. Of course, if that's the case, they play the team that they always beat in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting to see the, you know, the Bulls who have owned the Cavaliers during the regular season meet in the playoffs. I have a feeling it won't go that route though if they meet in the playoffs.
No, I think there'll be the a little reciprocal nature going on in that one. I think it'll be reversed in the playoffs. Man, who would expect otherwise?
Yeah, I don't think you could count. It's one of those things where if the Bulls get a game, I would be surprised. You know, it's just one of those.
But
you know,
I think we've emailed about this, but I have never seen a team look bad when they win, like the Bulls have, at least to me this season. They look horrible in winning. This is a terrible, terrible year for the fans in Chicago. Following
yeah,
the Bulls.
They have been just a mess this year, and who knows what the issue is or what the problem was. I mean, they just, you know, don't look cohesive at all. And
no, I wish I could remember where the survey was, but Mark Giangreco of ABC Sports mentioned it a week or so ago. I think I told you about that. They had some kind of a survey who was the worst NBA coach, and no surprise who won.
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, he hasn't done much. You know, luckily for him, he somehow got this team into the playoffs or on the verge of the playoffs.
I
have no idea how that happened, but you know, another whopping 500 team for the Bulls.
Yeah. Wade didn't look too bad. Had some rust, and he didn't actually look too bad in the. Time he was on the court on Saturday for someone who hasn't played in a while, coming back from an injury. He looked pretty decent.
So yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know how much help he'll actually be come playoff time or how it works out, but you know, I have so little interest in the NBA playoffs, especially now that you know every series is 7 games and. You know, they play till June. It's just like, really, this isn't over yet? So.
Yeah. Well, of course, the NHL goes similar to the NBA in terms of they can go into June also. But at least there's some competition there. I mean, it's not, and it's a little more tense to watch the a close NHL game than it is to watch an NBA game. And even in a playoff game, boy, unless it's the finals, the first or second quarters, it's just hard to watch.
Yeah, now, you know, the NHL playoffs kick off Wednesday. There's five games there. The Blackhawks don't kick off till Thursday. So we have the series ended up being the Rangers start at Montreal. The Rangers are actually a wild card team, even though they had a 100-point season. The Bruins are at the Senators. The Blue Jackets are at the Penguins. Those are the three Eastern Conference series that kick off on Wednesday. Toronto is at Washington. That kicks off Thursday. That's the other Eastern Conference series. Then the West, technically, as funny as it is to say, St. Louis starts at Minnesota. I just think it's hilarious when that's a Western Conference series. San Jose is at Edmonton. The Nashville Predators are here in Chicago to take on the Blackhawks. And then the last series to get started late Thursday night is Calgary at Anaheim. So,
well, I certainly think that the Nashville Predators are going to give the Blackhawks a run for their money. So it'll be low-scoring games, close low-scoring games. I think that's what we can look forward to watching. But it's still playoff hockey. And
yeah, I just want to know if they're going to do the thing in Nashville where they try to block the Blackhawk fans for getting tickets.
Yeah, they've tried that before, yeah.
You know, because Dan has relatives in Nashville, so maybe he can go to the game.
Yeah, maybe he can get some connection. That's right, his connection can get him a seat to that game. It's not difficult, I guess, for the Cub fans to get seats to the Brewers.
Yeah, or anywhere, basically.
Over the weekend.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's the one thing, you know, Chicago, I mean, even the Bulls fans travel, you know, as bad as this
they
team
do.
Has been this year. But, you know, definitely the Cubs and the Blackhawk fans really, you know, really stick out as the fans that you see, no matter where the team is, these guys show up.
Yeah, very passionate fan base in Chicago, especially when you have a winning team. That helps certainly tremendously.
Yeah, and you know, I saw some of the power rankings for the hockey playoff teams have the Blackhawks only behind Washington. You know, it's Washington 1, Chicago 2, then Pittsburgh. Yeah, then Pittsburgh, Edmonton. Yeah, Edmonton popped up at 4, Anaheim 5, Minnesota, Columbus really drops. St. Louis, San Jose, Montreal, the Rangers, Nashville, Calgary, Boston, and Ottawa, and then Toronto is the last team. So it's interesting that Boston and Ottawa are playing each other as low rank as they are. One of them's going to advance.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Columbus dropped that far in the rankings.
Yeah,
they're pretty solid team, and they didn't they have the third most points in the conference?
Yeah, behind I think they're behind
Washington
and Pittsburgh.
And Pittsburgh,
so.
Right.
But now, you know, I know if you're a gambling man here, right now the current odds, Washington is 3-1 to win the Cup, followed by Chicago at 5-1 and Minnesota at 6-1. You can get Pittsburgh, Anaheim, or the Rangers at 10-1. The Canadiens and the Blue Jackets are 15.
Yeah, those are pretty good odds for Pittsburgh. That's a pretty good odd. That's a pretty good odd. Yeah, that's a good bet for 10-1 for Pittsburgh. I'm surprised they went that high.
Yeah, and then you can wrap up. You can bet the Blues at 35-1 or really take a gamble and go with the Maple Leafs at 40-1.
I would say that you save your money and don't make those bets.
You know.
But Washington certainly had a terrific year. They fired away the most points. What do they have, about 115, 116 points? Just they had a tremendous
record. This is all just kind of normal. They ended up actually with 118. So they were seven better than anybody else. But, you know, they have a tendency to do this. You know, they go out and they play a fantastic regular season. And then somewhere, you know, like last year they ran into Pittsburgh and they couldn't get past them. And, you know, it's just playoff struggle after playoff struggle for this team. And, you know, we'll see if this year is finally it.
Well, if the Blackhawks do make it into the finals, play for the Cup, if they play either Washington or Pittsburgh, they're going to wind up being at the road team for the first two games.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh had, what, a point or two more than the Blackhawks?
Yeah, they were. It was Washington 1, Pittsburgh 2, and then Chicago 3. Columbus was 4 with Minnesota 5 and the Rangers, again, 6. 102, or actually, Montreal 6 and then the Rangers 7. 102 points, and they squeak in as a wild card. So.
Yeah, that's Minnesota didn't play too well towards the end of this. Maybe they came back a little bit towards the end, but they really had went into a tailspin. They seemed to have a lock on the first place in the Western Conference, but went into a bad losing streak. And
yeah,
it wasn't close at the end of the season.
Scuffled. Well, you know, they finished strong. They did win 4 in a row to close out the season.
Right.
So,
they came back finally, but it was too late at that point for them to overcome Chicago.
Yeah, because I know, you know, Chicago kind of cruised home, ended up dropping their last 4, but it, you know, it didn't matter by then. It was all locked up with, you know, the losing streak
like
Minnesota
hold,
had.
I would like to have seen them hold on to that last game when they lost. They tied the game, L.A., with less than a minute to play and easily won an OT.
Yeah, those kind of losses are hugely disappointing when they choke them off like that, but... You know, I guess it's one of those fun things you gotta deal with. You know, in LA again, a non playoff team. LA, not this year. They didn't make it.
Once again, but the Blackhawks always seem to step it up a notch when the playoffs start. But everybody else does too.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got that experience now, and I think that really helps. You know, a lot of these guys have been through. You know, this how many times now, so.
Now, is that player who was injured for the Blackhawks going to be able to play in the playoffs? Was it Arisimov?
Oh, yeah. You know, I haven't heard anything on him. Let me see. They've got a preview here online. Let me see if they mention anything about him in the playoff here as I kind of scan it over and see what we've got. If not, I can... it says here, Artem Anisimov will return for the Blackhawks after missing about a month with a leg injury. So
yeah, well, of course, he'll be a little rusty, I'm sure, but nice to have him in the lineup.
Yeah, he's a good fit between, you know, Kane and Panarin there on that line. You know, that works out really well for them. You know, he's a big dude, like doesn't mind going to the front of the net, and that kind of saves them
not at all.
From having to do
I wonder
that
if they held
stuff.
Him back the last two games or so. I wonder if he could have played the last two games of the regular season.
I'm sure they did. You know, that's... You know, why waste it? You know, why take the chance more or less? So, you know, I was looking for, they had a bunch of predictions here, and I thought, okay, these are Stanley Cup winners, but they actually went through and picked the first round winners, which was a little weird, but you'll be confident to know that they have all picked the Blackhawks to win in the first round, but a couple of them do have the series going 7 games. So,
wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me.
You know, but
well, remember last year the Blackhawks were down 3-1 in the first round before tying it, but then they lost the 7th game, and that was it. Early withdrawal from.
You know, another natural affinity to do that. You know, just one of those weird things with that team. I don't know what it is, but. You know, while we're on hockey,
yes.
You know, did you see that former Blackhawk Brian Bickell? He scored a shootout goal in his final game, and then decided to call it quits.
Well, that was great to see that he scored that shootout goal, and they brought him up just for the last game of the season, where he was in the minors.
Yeah.
Of course, retiring with that's just so sad to see that his career was cut short with which can be eventually a very debilitating injury and illness. Muscular sclerosis or multiple sclerosis, MS?
Yeah, multiple sclerosis.
And that just gets worse.
You know, nice way for him to go out, you know, nice little, you know, deal there by the Carolina Panthers to get him out there and give him the chance. Just so happened to score a shootout winner. And, you know, I mean, he'll go away with, you know, he's won 3 Stanley Cups here in Chicago. But, yeah, he is just 31. But, it was a nice touch there.
It was. I thought that was very classy of Carolina to do that.
So, you know, and who knows, maybe the Blackhawks will do something for him, you know, next year or something like that with the
I wonder what
you know, with
he will be
stuff,
doing now,
but
what kind of work he'll do the rest of it. Maybe he could be an analyst. I don't know if he's that good behind the mic, but do something at least in hockey.
Yeah, you know, or maybe he's got plans to work with, you know, the disease somehow, you know, work with a charity or something to try to find a cure
or
you know, those kind of things. We'll have to see
they've been searching for that cure for years.
Yeah.
But they did find a cure for polio, and maybe eventually they'll find a cure for this.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully, you know, you hope how things work out. But
Right.
You know, let's go ahead and swing over and jump into baseball here. And I want to give everybody, Mr. Fantasy actually sent me 2 FanDuel lineups. So I'm going to run them out for you real quick if you're preparing to get in a league. I can tell you yesterday he did struggle, but if you listen to me while we were doing the podcast, my lineup went up to score over 180 points. So you would have got your money back if you'd have followed my advice yesterday. But here's what he's got today. The first lineup he has Jacob DeGrom as pitcher, Yadier Molina at catcher, Will Myers at first, Cesar Hernandez at second, Yarvengis Solarte at third, Addison Russell at short, and his outfield is Hunter Renfroe, Kyle Schwarber, and Adam Duvall. Again, real quick, last names only here. DeGrom, Molina, Myers, Hernandez, Solarte, Russell, Renfroe, Schwarber, and Duvall. That's lineup number 1. Lineup number 2 is very similar. He starts with a different pitcher, though. He has Jared Eichhoff pitching, Yadier Molina catching, Will Myers at first, Cesar Hernandez at second, Chris Bryant at third base, Alzmendez Diaz at short. His outfield here is Kyle Schwarber, Adam Duvall, and Gerardo Parra. Again, real quick, last names only. Eichhoff, Molina, Myers, Hernandez, Bryant, Diaz, and then Schwarber, Duvall, and Parra are his outfield. So there you go. If you're playing tonight, good luck. Both these lineups are for the, I want to double check the time, but I want to say it's the 705 Main League. Yes, 705 Main League. If you want to jump in and play along, you got about 36 minutes to get your lineup in, and good luck if you choose to.
I would make one change in the outfield based upon yesterday's game.
Jason Ward? Oh.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he was the most impressive hitter on the team yesterday.
They sent me a free roll, but I messed around with it, and nobody wants to know what my lineup is for that. So just stick with what Mr. Fantasy did seriously and, you know, go that route. But, you know, we do have – it's banner-raising day. I find it interesting that today is banner-raising day, but Wednesday is the ring ceremony. Did you hear or do you know why they separated these?
I don't know the reason. Maybe they thought it would be too much. It would take too much time for doing both for opening day. You got to introduce the lineups and everything else. So maybe they delayed the ring ceremony until Wednesday. Of course, there won't be a game tomorrow unless the game tonight is rained out.
Yes. So there might be. We don't know.
Yeah. Bless you.
Yeah. Can't you tell I'm getting better? Now, you know, my big concern with this is, you know, teams notoriously play terrible after these ceremonies. So now the Cubs not only have one, they have 2. You know, so are they going to go out and, stink it up on the field 2 days in a row?
The double whammy. Well, the Dodgers aren't off to a great start. They're not two, what are they, 4-3?
Let me see if I can grab it here real quick. always takes me to the American League first. Why do they do that? The Dodgers are 4-3.
Well, they played the one extra game because the Cub game. No, Cubs played the full six games. That's right. They made up the game there rained out. Well,
so,
do you realize
we did
that?
No, what? I didn't realize anything. What didn't I realize?
No, I was going to tell you that based upon the current start for the Cubs, if you prorate that against the rest of the games in the league, the Cubs are on pace to win 108 games this season.
There you go. So,
which five more than last year?
Right on. So, but yeah, we did. We do have three games going right now. The A's lead the Royals 2-0, heading into the eighth inning. The Giants are up on the Diamondbacks 3-1. That's in the bottom of the sixth. And Houston and Seattle is 0-0 in the top of the fifth. A few games that are going to get started here real quick. We got the Cardinals at the Nationals, the Mets at the Phillies, and the Reds at the Pirates. The Cubs are a scheduled 7 p.m. start here Central Time. And then it's the Padres and the Rockies are the late starting game tonight. Two finals already. The Yankees beat the Rays 8-1. Michael Pineda got the win there. Alex Cobb took the loss. The game I got. Tigers Sale took the loss, and Francisco Rodriguez picked up the save. But yeah, it was just fantastic
was
pitching going
game?
On in that game.
2-1. Score of that game? 2-1. Well, Sales has done the job so far. That's for sure.
Yeah, he was rolling. He made some mistakes late, and that's what ended up costing him. But yeah, it was one of those things where I was wondering if maybe they should have taken him out just a little earlier than.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be taken out of games.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, one thing, you know, he's one of the few guys now who actually seems like he wants to continue to pitch and stay in games and, you know, do all the stuff that they used to do. But yeah, it was just, it, you know, it's always kind of interesting to watch really good pitching because you don't see a lot of it. And, you know, just today just happened to be, they were going against each other.
Yeah, that was a good duel, good pitching duel. Are you surprised at the slow start for the Giants?
Oh, all right. Sorry, I was gone for a little bit there. It looks like Stu dropped out too. I hope it wasn't too big of a deal. There we go. Stu popped back up. Let me bring Stu back in. All right,
yeah,
you there?
Yeah, I lost. I redialed because I lost you completely there for
yeah,
a few minutes.
I
don't know what happened.
I'm working through the internet because I was having trouble connecting and it threw me off. So that was nice of it. So yeah, I was calling back in and then I saw you drop off and I'm like, man, this hasn't happened in a while. Sure, it figures when I have Stu on, we have this problem. So, but we're all back in set.
Kiss of death, huh? Yeah, we're ready. Ready to go.
What were we talking about?
Oh, I mentioned
about?
To you. I said, were you surprised that the Giants got up such a bad start this season?
Yeah, you know, they were definitely one of the, you know, you want to call them shocking, however you want to describe it. I mean, just such a horrible start for that team. And, you know, they got some really good pitching performances and just didn't do anything with them.
No, it did. But they are winning today, and it's a long season. We know that. And they'll be around.
Yeah, definitely, you know. You know, I think, you know, when it's all said and done and, you know, we're kind of looking at the scoreboard, I got a feeling they'll be there late in the standings. I don't think they'll be too far out of anything. So.
No. Now you said they were winning today, right? 3-1 against Arizona?
Yeah.
What inning was that?
It was the, what I have, bottom of the fifth or sixth.
Okay. Well, if they hold on to that lead, maybe the closer, their new expensive closer will have a chance to redeem himself. He didn't do too well the initial time out.
Well, he got a save yesterday, but he still put some guys on. So, you know, it's, you know, you just wonder if he's pressing to, you know, make it feel like he earned the contract, or, you know, something's going on. But yeah, he wasn't great yesterday either. So we'll have to see if he does something today.
When Davis came in after they took Rondon out yesterday, I mean, the score was 7-4. Now he threw one pitch. He doesn't get credit for a save, though, does he? Because the home run took place with a 4-run lead going into the ninth inning.
Yeah, you know, a lot depends on the situation, you know, what the score was. And, you know, there's such an odd... you know, an odd definition of what a save is. So there is a chance, you know, he got credit for one, you know, just depending. I'll have to give me a second. I can hunt down the box score and take a look and see. I was on a different web page here. So let me hunt that one up. I don't remember seeing that he got a save, but like I said, it's with all the, you know, all the different possibilities. And I know while we were talking about the Giants, I haven't seen an update yet, but Buster Posey got hit in the head, and, you know, he left the game.
Well, that's not good. Did we get thrown off again, John? Are you still there?
Wow, it's definitely just one of those days. I don't know what the heck is going on here, but yeah, it seems like, you know, every whatever, I kind of drop off and go away. But let's hope it holds out here for the next 19 minutes or so. We'll give it a shot. Oh, all right. Well, that's twice I got kicked off. I don't know what the heck is going on here.
Boy, I come on for the first time in months, and look what happens.
Yeah. Just it's one of those. One of those fun things you get to do. We haven't had this happen in quite a while either. But
see,
yeah, you know, I shouldn't say anything bad about the internet now, but you know, I've got the wonderful AT&T, and boy, I have horrible luck with it. So,
well, maybe it's time for a change. But
looking here, yeah, no, Davis was credited with it yesterday. So
okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, because I know sometimes they can come in and pick up that save just for one third of an inning.
Right, right, right. But, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And,
depending on the situation and how those games go.
Right, right. As long as we're talking about the Cub game, I have to tell you, and I purposely did not email you today because of this, how impressed I was with Jason Hayward yesterday. He was 2-for-5. He could have easily been 5-for-5. I don't know if you watched the entire game or not, but he looked awfully good at the plate.
Yeah, I know we joked around a little bit at the beginning because he had gotten some hits and they weren't really,
right.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like, okay, one more time. I guess I'd make the 19 minutes I was talking about there, huh?
Yeah, we're back. We're back.
Yeah, here, I got the lineups for tonight games for you. So
okay.
Here, let me run you the lineup down before we get back to Hayward. He is in the lineup tonight. Pretty normal lineup. for Cubs here. Schwarber lead off, Bryant second, Rizzo third, Zito fourth, but he's in nine. So that's what they're going with tonight. So we'll see. Here's what the Dodgers are covering with. Forsyth is leading off, Seager second, Turner third, Gutierrez in the cleanoff spot, Puig five, Gonzalez six, Grandal seven, Peterson eight, and Alex Wood is getting the start for the Dodgers tonight. So there you go.
Well, he's not a bad pitcher, but of course we don't get to see Kershaw this time around, at least.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad thing, right?
Right, exactly.
So we'll see if see how things work out. I know the big thing everybody was saying is the Dodgers are supposed to be susceptible to left-handed pitching, so that's why the Cubs made the swap in the rotation
right.
and.
Right,
you know, Arrieta
exactly.
pitched on what would be normal rest, and Lester got the extra day. So we'll see how that pays off tonight.
Yeah, he was in a lot of trouble in his first game, Lester. Let's see if do a little better tonight. So he only gave up one run, I think. One earned run in the first game he pitched?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's so weird because, like, I was – kind of looking and like they put out power rankings for week one and I'm like, can you really tell anything off of 1 week? I mean,
yeah.
You know, like we were talking about it. Did you really have the Giants in the cellar? You know, are the Twins really that good? I think they're 5-1 or 6-1.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 week is meaningless. This by far, this is a 162 game schedule.
Like,
a long way to go.
So, you know, and I get it. They need to fill their articles and, you know, all the stuff that, you know, they have going on there. And, you know, so, you know, what do you do? You write
that kind of thing already, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Twins.
You know,
you
do that. You do that kind of stuff. I do have to look here. I did not forget. Dan, every Monday, oddly enough, starting with today, we're doing, Dan is doing a fantasy player and pitcher of the week. And he sent me his picks today. I just have to, hunt them down. So, you know, who Dan went with. I know his player of the week was Mark Reynolds of the Rockies. But I'm drawing a blank. Oh, actually, I think his picture. I hung onto the email so he wouldn't yell at me. Here it is. Yes, he went with, yes, Mark Reynolds and Madison Bumgarner. So there you go, the first week of Dan's pick.
Oh,
so not too bad choices there to get it started.
Yeah, I think Bumgarner was a good choice.
Yeah, and I know, you know, Reynolds has been fantastic right out of the gate here. You know, he's the hot fantasy guy because he's filling in until Ian Desmond comes back from his broken hand, I believe it is. So it's been...
he was off to a great start, that's for sure.
You know, and that's always a plus when you can... you can find it because, yeah, you know, that's kind of the question is, you know, what do the Rockies do when Desmond comes back? But, you know, it's a nice problem to have.
Yep. It's always a good problem to have depth in your team.
Well.
As the Cubs are finding out already.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, obviously one of the, you know, the tougher things to – you know, to fill on your team, you know, you never know, you know, when somebody's going to go down. I know I saw that, you know, Gary Sanchez for the Yankees had that bicep strain,
and
they're saying a month now. So, yeah.
They brought up a catcher from the minors to fill the roster spot.
So, and I know I also saw that your guy Trevor Cahill went on the DL. He made one start for the Padres, and now he's on the DL.
Uh-oh, he never should have left the Cubs.
Sadly, I don't think it was his choice.
Right. I saw where Castro had a good day the other day, right? Didn't Castro have a good day for the Yankees? Yeah, he had a nice day.
What day was that? It might have been yesterday. I had him in my FanDuel lineup, and I believe he had a double and an RBI, and then maybe a single as well. So he had a really solid day.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's fit in nicely there. I think not being the guy really helps him. You know, it allows him to relax and just kind of play baseball where, you know, like we said here in Chicago, everything was his fault. You know, like they would blame the rain on him today if he was still in a cup form. So,
you know, I was never a great fan of his defense.
No, well, you know, he was really, you know, now that he's at second, he's much better.
Yeah. Oh, he's much better at second and short.
So,
absolutely. No argument
you know,
there.
And you just got to kind of look at it. I mean, why didn't the Cubs think of it? You know, how did he get stuck struggling in short all those years? But
Yeah, a little too late. Has Chapman had any save opportunities yet? I have not checked.
You know, I believe I saw one. I thought I saw him get. I may be mistaken because, I've just been kind of, when I get that free preview, I jump around from so many games. I can't really keep track of who's doing what. But let me grab. I should be able to grab their team. Well, if I can see online, I don't want to make.
Uh-oh, don't cut us off again.
All right, so you thought I was kidding. I heard the thunder, and all of a sudden I was in trouble.
Yeah, that was noisy. That was loud. And I'm still wondering about
actually,
getting the game tonight.
Actually, here I can tell you that he does not have a save. He's made two appearances and pitched in two innings. But he does not have a save. He does have four strikeouts, though.
It'll be interesting when the Cubs play the Yankees later this year, and Chapman comes in.
Yeah, definitely.
Save.
So, and of course, to be fair, you know the Yankees have only won what two games, three games. So, you know they're just haven't been too many opportunities yet. So,
right, that's right. But they won today. You said, didn't you?
Yeah, they cruised today 8-1. Michael Pineda was just awesome. He's just rolling.
Didn't need Chapman today.
So yeah, just one of those things. And, you know, obviously it's still early. I think oddly the guy from Colorado has four saves because they got off to such a good start. But you know the majority of them have just I think Wade Davis has two. So it just kind of depends on how your team has how close your team's games happen to be. So.
Right. I worry about Davis going in the DL sometime this year. I'm sure it's going to happen.
He had before he took over as closer, he had a pretty clean run setup guy, but he had that I don't know what do they call it tendonitis or whatever they were calling it last year. So you do have to wonder, but. Quick update here. I know we're getting close to being done. Seattle's taking a 3-0 lead on Houston in the top of the sixth. San Francisco added a run. They're up 4-1 in the top of the eighth. And Oakland is hanging on against Kansas City. It's still 2-0 going into the bottom of the ninth. So we'll see if the.
All right.
I was watching it. It happened to be on a 3-0 count. And I was just like, oh, wow, they gave him the green light. And yeah, he came through. He hit a bomb. So,
yeah, you could groove a 3-0 groove sometimes, and you could really take advantage of it.
So yeah, it was a little surprising. I guess expecting it there, and I was just kind of, I had it on while I was just kind of doing everything else, getting ready, and it was like, oh, hey, all right. But yeah, I was a little surprised he ended up in Oakland after the season he had. I thought they would deal him. With the way the A's move guys around, I thought for sure he would be headed somewhere else. But no, he ended up still in their uniform, and you know, hey, may hit 40 home runs again.
He had a heck of a year last year. And I think you may be right, by the way. I think that Seattle may be a sleeper in the Western Division this year in the American League. They might be a good team.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to get going now, considering they got that 1-6 start.
Yeah,
they're
a
little
start, but,
out of the gate.
But I think they're going to bounce back.
Yeah, you know, it's again, it's a little, you know, you'd obviously
early.
You're not panicking.
Very early.
Just the one.
Very early.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to see how, you know, if they're 20 or something, then, yeah, you know, you might have to start wondering about,
then
hey,
then
you know.
Then it's time for some concern.
Yeah. You know, I know the big drawback with them is, you know, you worry they made all those off-season changes. And for whatever reason, it seems like teams never do well that first year after making all those trades.
Yeah, certain chemistry involved.
So, yeah, and, you know, I mean, you would think, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but for whatever reason, you know, I mean, you kind of look at Arizona last year, you know, they brought in Greinke, they made some other moves, and, you know, they just flopped. You know, this year out of the gate, they look a little better.
Right. I thought there would be a contender last year. I was surprised at how poorly they did.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird, you know, when the term they like to use is win the off season. It somehow doesn't seem to really work out for you. As, you know, you kind of roll along, and it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, things don't always work out the way you think they're going to work out.
So, yeah, you know, we'll see if they can, you know, right the ship here. You know, like you said, it is very early. I mean, we're talking, you know, 7 games. And, you know, yesterday was quite disappointing because, you know, they blew a 6-run lead in the 9th inning.
Yeah, that's unheard of. That does not happen very often.
So, yeah, that's, you know, you got to wonder, you know, what kind of shape that bullpen is in, or, you know, how that kind of rounded into form there. But, you know, those are things you don't want to have to deal with when you're, you know, you're trying to win, is have your, you know, your bullpen just disappear like that. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's.
But we'll, you know, we'll see if they can hold on today. You know, Houston is a, you know, they're a good team too. I mean, they're, you know, they can. So, of course, yesterday I think it was the Angels they blew the lead to, and that wasn't as impressive.
Well, certainly Houston is, to my mind, the favorite to win the West and the American League. Of course, I thought they were going to do it last year, too. But...
Yeah. Maybe we'll finally get that Astro Cub World Series.
Yeah. Everybody thought about that, maybe.
All right. Well, the music means it's time for Stu and I to head out. Sadly, it only took about 4 tries to do it. Stu's going to be back tomorrow, though, so we'll try again. Hopefully, we'll have better luck with the internet connection if the weather's better. But you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the stuff there. Get the link over to the Facebook page. Check that out. The Twitter feed is at SportsTimeRadio. Of course, Jill's on. Look at that. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.